Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for this hour, we're going to have with us Gail Jenner, and we're going to be talking about what's going on up there in the Klamath Basin there in Siskiyou County, where, of course, this small group of elitists are carrying out a social experiment. They want to crush the people there, destroy the value of their savings, their homes, drive them off their land, and return this to a wilderness area where the deer and the antelope and the wolves and the grizzly bears can play. And this really is the plan of Agenda 21. It is a plan for half of America. A quarter will be then marginal areas, and the people will be allowed to live in the other quarter. They want to completely reconstitute America. Also with us on the line is Kirk McKenzie, who has been working with the people up there with this idea of trying to restore or retain rural America, because there is an organized, orchestrated effort by people of great wealth who are dedicated to Agenda 21, the United Nations agenda for the 21st century, to destroying life and the livelihood of people up there in the Siskiyou County area in the Klamath River Basin. Gail Jenner, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on the show.
Well, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, because we haven't had a chance to talk before.
Okay, yes. I am married to a fourth-generation cattle rancher, and the fifth generation is now partnering with us, and so we have the sixth generation being born. There are five men as partners and wives and families, so it's a family corporation, and we live in the middle of Scott Valley in Siskiyou County. It's a rural mountain valley, of course, so it's about 2,800 at the floor of the valley. And I'm also a teacher and a writer. I was actually raised in the Bay Area and lived in Southern California for a short time, but I've been married for over 40 years and have lived here and fallen in love with the people and the lifestyle, which we are certainly hoping to maintain.
Well, I hope you can maintain it, but there are people who want to destroy the lifestyle up there. How many head of cattle do you run, you and your partners?
We run 1,000 head of mother cows, which means that at any one time we have well over 2,000 animals, and we do feed through the winter. We do have four seasons up here. We raise our own hay. We do all of the work ourselves, and we can't even afford to hire outside help because we'd have to pay them more than we take home. But it's a great life, and the trade-off, I think, in all of our minds is well worth the sacrifice. But it's certainly a changing environment, one that's bringing us a lot of fear and anxiety for sure.
Well, why don't you tell us how the rules and regulations of Agenda 21 are affecting you and your family and your partners here and your cattle ranching?
Okay. Well, of course, as people on listening to your show are aware, a lot of regulations have been increasing over the years. But in the last 3 or 4 years, the fight over water has just risen to such a pitch that we just are almost baffled. We don't understand how things have got to be such a confused mess. And,
well, I will tell you, there are a group of people who want to drive you off the land, and basically they use water or anything else that they can to drive you off the land, and because they'll buy up your land and then turn it into wilderness area. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay. Here
with Gail Jenner. Gail, go right ahead.
Okay.
Now, basically, of course, do you flood irrigate? Is that how you get the hay to grow?
Yes, we flood.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This fellow from the fisheries department came. He came with a warden, and I said, what did they want to do? Did they want to look at your land? Did they want to examine your land? Did they want to? What sort of demands did they make? And what sort of? What was the basic tone of their? I mean, basically, you have a contract. With some branches of government, as far as the maintenance of the land, maintenance of the water, maintenance of the creek. And so what was their demand? Have they changed the original agreement?
Well, I think that's where, for us, this great sense of betrayal and confusion began, was because this NOAA special agent, who was actually a part of the law enforcement, came, and before he would speak to anybody, he read them their rights, their Miranda rights. There was no charges levied against them.
Well, I hope you told him, asked him to leave at that point.
No, and this is the kicker. I think, in defense, my husband and my brother-in-law and my son and my nephew are straightforward people, very honest, honest as the day is long, and they felt they had nothing to hide, that they would, they had set up this appointment knowing they were going to talk about fish, And so they went ahead and spoke to these guys, which they probably, in retrospect, shouldn't have done. And at the conclusion of the meeting, the agent proceeded to tell them that we were going to be investigated, and that at the end of the period of investigation, however long that took, they would decide, the attorneys for NIMS, or the Marine Fisheries, or NOAA, would decide whether or not they were going to file charges criminally or civilly.
Well, don't you understand they're trying to intimidate and frighten you? I mean,
absolutely.
This is part of a planned program. It's been done over and over again. This is how they intimidate people and get them to certainly to go along and to give up their rights. You never should have spoken to those people. Once they insisted on reading your Miranda rights, you should have asked them to leave.
I know, and I doubt that it will ever happen again in that way. I think it goes to show, however, how honest this family is and how hardworking and how straightforward. I mean,
but you don't understand. They don't care whether you're honest or not.
I know.
They're trying to get your land away from you. They have an agenda.
It's an
international agenda. Didn't you have any idea what Agenda 21 is? Hadn't you understood that there are the people who want to drive the people off the land and turn it back to wilderness?
Well, we certainly were aware of it. However, it had not come home to Ruth until that event. And I think one of the things that I've told several friends and people who don't live in the country and in rural America is that, we simply were slow to realize how duplicitous these people were. We felt that we had abided by all the contracts. We've done what we've always done. We maintain a preserve. We keep things in balance. We're hardworking. We're family-oriented. And we were so baffled and so blown away.
They hate people who are honest and hardworking and righteous and noble and honorable, because these people are not. They have an agenda, and they want to terrify you, and it sounds like they did a pretty good job.
Well, yes. I mean, they certainly brought us to a place of recognizing that there are people who intend to do us harm, and we know that now, and we are certainly moving towards protecting as many people as we can by sharing the story, because it's been so disappointing. There's been so much frustration and the emotional impact on our family and on the people in this valley and in this county is, people are just shaken to the roots.
Now, did they do this with other people as well as you?
No. No. Our ranch, we've learned from other people working on this whole issue, the Defend Rural America people, the people to protect our waters, a lot of the farmers and ranchers here that have joined together. We've recognized that we've actually become a target. We're probably one of the larger ranchers in the area, and because we have these established 1,600 permits that go back to the 1980s with no ending date, the thinking now is that they couldn't get to us through the fishing game because we have no ending dates, and so they couldn't change anything on us, and they didn't like that. And so by bringing in the feds, they could circumvent those agreements and try to get to us through other means. And so we know that we've become a target. If they can break this cattle company, this Jenner Cattle Company, this ranch, they could probably break a lot of people up here, because we have probably some of the best water rights and most established permitting permits in place. And so if they can break us, they can break anybody.
Well, now, what happened now after you had your initial meeting and they told you that after they'd finished their investigation of you, why they would decide whether to go after you from a criminal or a civil complaint charges?
Well, I got on the phone the very next day and started calling our senators and Herger and LaMalfa and our sheriff, Lopey, who called Fish and Game. And we really kind of kicked into action a lot of response. And as it turns out, a woman who's a doctor, Dr. Sari Summerstrom, she's also local, but she speaks their language even though she's kind of a local person. And she spoke to the marine fisheries, and at this meeting she actually came to our defense and said, you are barking up the wrong issue. These people, you know, these creeks dry up. These people have abided by their contracts. There really is no issue about the fish and the water here because these streams are seasonal. Patterson Creek dried up this year, even though there were no diversions on it, and all of the information they had been fed or that they had been collecting was false and misleading and not based upon any kind of data. And so since that time, we think, we're hoping, every call we make to somebody, they have not proceeded with anything. So we're thinking that they are backing down, at least at this point. Probably, in all likelihood, there'll be another battle along the way. But at least for us, for right now, we think we're standing okay.
All right, fine. Well, basically, of course, they use fear and intimidation. Basically, these are standard techniques to frighten people into going along with it, you know, and you do what I say, you know, and basically you're guilty, and we're just going to determine how bad it's going to be for you. So now what is happening up there? Are these people backing away? I know the people up there and Klamath River Basin there in Siskiyou County. Many of them are getting together. They're organized. They're mm-hmm. putting the word out. And apparently, fortunately, we have a sheriff who's willing to take a stand against these federal officials who have no lawful right to do what they do. Because when you're a federal official, you're above the law. You really don't worry whether it's lawful or not, because you can violate the law all you want to and get away with it. But so the sheriff up there, if he's on your side, the federal officials know that they have no authority to come in. They just came in without even checking with the sheriff.
Yes, they did. And not only that, but the NOAA officials did, in fact, trespass on our neighboring property up Kidder Creek. And he came out, and they had not asked for permission to cross his property to get to our diversion. And he told them to exit, and this NOAA agent said, if you interfere with government business, we'll arrest you. And he was, like us at that point, intimidated and didn't do anything. And this same agent told my husband and brother-in-law that he in fact, could go anywhere he wanted without permission except into our home. And we, you know, basically the guys pretty much ended the conversation quickly as they could after it started. But definitely, I would have to agree with you, these people use intimidation. And then I got onto the Internet and started looking into NOAA. And NOAA has just a huge record of abuses. They have practically wiped out the fishing industry on the East Coast. And talk about illegal. I mean, they've collected fines, millions of dollars in fines, and they have forced so many people out of business, all on this, you know, frivolous assumption that we're killing fish or jeopardizing them in some way.
Well, now, what about your elected officials? Did you get any satisfaction out of them other than a little pat on the head?
Actually, yes. Wally Herger, our The U.S. representative has been wonderful. He has sent people up. He wrote a letter. He actually called for a federal investigation into NOAA, and he has been making calls on our behalf. He wrote a letter to the Department of Fish and Game, his office, and then Doug LaMalfa, our state senator, has done the same thing, and they have sent different people up to get more information from us and to really help us to beef up our resistance, and basically telling us the same thing. Stand firm, don't talk to them, don't give them any information voluntarily. pull yourself together and really stand on what you know to be true, which is that we have a right, we have property rights, we have water rights. We've maintained our agreement. We've done everything we are supposed to do legally and lawfully.
We have a constitution. It's just that these officials don't believe in the constitution. Well, Kirk McKenzie, certainly this is a very disturbing story. What are your thoughts on what Gail has been telling us?
Well, I wanted your listeners to hear these.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
He is there supposedly to talk about the fish, and the first thing he does is breathe in her husband and some other gentleman the Miranda rights, and then, of course, ends up by telling them they're going to be investigated, and of course they will decide whether they're coming after them criminally or civilly as far as offenses are concerned, and it's all part of a program of intimidation. You must understand, that the, now, was this a federal official or was this a state official?
Federal official.
Right. The federal government has no right, said they coming into your home or your property. They have no right to investigate things like fish or whether fish in your stream or not. This is outside of their realm of authority. But they will try to bluff you, and they will certainly do everything they can to intimidate you. And simply, you have right on your side, and just simply say, I do not talk to federal officials. Will you come in here with this? Please leave. Leave now. If you do not, I will call the sheriff and have you arrested for trespassing. And I bet he would have run the other way. I know very well. I had a gentleman call me with a very intimidating manner. And I more I thought about it, the angrier I got. It was from the FBI. His name is John Davis. He wanted to know about my religious beliefs. And I called him back and I said, why are you investigating my religious beliefs? I'm an evangelical Christian. Oh, we're not investigating. I want to know why you're investigating this. I mean, is this the official government policy to investigate people because they're Christians? And I'll tell you what, that man was so frightened when I went on the offensive. These people are cowards. They hide behind their guns and intimidation. And you stand up to them, and you have right on your side. And I said, yeah, well, anyway, that's neither here nor there. I hope the people in your valley are incensed by what has happened. And, Sydney, I'm sure you've told this story to the people up there. Have you heard anything more about the investigation?
No, it's sort of at a stalled place because we did hear through Herger's office that this Dr. Sari Sundstrom, who spoke to the Marine Fisheries agents, actually told them that the information they had was false, that the creeks do dry up, that nobody has, you know, killed off these fish, and told them that if they were looking for an issue, this was not the right issue, and that, you know, probably just best to just leave it alone. And so we're hoping that in fact happens. We don't know. And of course, the agent was very, very evasive, basically told us nothing. And I think the thing that, besides being, like you said, truly motivated by a different agenda, was so duplicitous. I mean, he came with the with introduction that he came to talk, and then just turned the whole thing upside down. And so we don't know where the investigation is at this point, and nobody really has an answer for us.
All right. Well, I think that once people get incensed, they'll back down because they have no legal authority. All right, fine. Well, basically, I'm sure you're aware of all the other things that are happening up there, the organized effort to destroy lumbering, and they've done a pretty good job of destroying
Absolutely.
The economy up there, and the name of the spotted owl, they're destroying recreation. They want to pull out the dams. Of course, that'll create all sorts of problems with flooding, take away hydroelectric power. I said they will destroy fishing because of the sediment that basically will kill destroy the fishing areas there. They're going to destroy gold mining. Apparently, they've done a pretty good job of that. What are some of the other things that are these government officials who are following the United Nations, the Subversive United Nations plan? Anything else you can tell us about what they're doing up there to disrupt and destroy the economy?
Well, certainly all of that. And our unemployment rate up here is well above the average. We're probably between 15 and 16%. You know, people have had to move away. As a teacher, we've just seen our school classes just drop, and it's been tragic because people are just losing their towns and their communities, and, you know, people are walking around just stunned, really.
Right.
But also groups, these do-gooder groups like PETA and the Humane Society, they're also out to, quote-unquote, get us, you know, promoting all kinds of false and misinformation.
Well, of course, they're very concerned about the wolves and the grizzly bears and the mountain lions. They really, of course, want the property to your property to belong to them so that they can return to the primitive way it was before the white man came. Hold on, we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
One 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this sort of thing is going on up there. You've heard, listen regularly to Radio Liberty. You've heard the same story from different points of view again and again and again. Why, I'd like to, if you have a question or comment, don't be bashful. Understand that they're going after the people in the rural areas, but it's part of a much larger program. It's called Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is an agenda for the 21st century. It is an international subversive movement aimed at increasing the power of government over the lives of the people in the name of protecting the environment. Protecting the environment. Protecting the bears and the wolves and the mountain lions and the little fishies and this endangered coho species, but of course it is not native to the river at all, and we've talked about this a number of occasions. This is not a native endangered species at all. This is all contrived, it's based on a lie, but you see, when you don't have any other means of accomplishing a goal, you simply lie, and when you work for the government, you can lie. Not everybody works for the government, it's bad. An awful lot of them are good people. But if you work for the government and you tell the truth and you bring out what's going on, they will come after you, they will make your life miserable, They will certainly, you'll lose your pension, you'll be blacklisted, you can't get another job, and you may lose a lot more than that if you look into some of the things, amazing things that have happened from what happened to Vince Foster, or what happened, there were about 50 people who knew something about Bill Clinton. In fact, Monica Lewinsky kept a list of all the people who had been killed because of Bill Clinton, and even talked about this when she was talking about her fear for her own life, for the revelations that were coming forward. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary, because we don't talk about this sort of thing. We don't like to think about this, but government is power. I mean, this is what it's all about, and there are people who want that power. Most Americans just want to live their life and be left alone, and the ranchers want to ranch, and physicians that love to practice medicine, and workers that love just to be able to work, and mothers that like to be able to allow to raise their children. But there are people who want to tell them what to do. They want to regulate every aspect of human endeavor. And this is the sort of thing that is going on, certainly in rural America, but increasingly in urban America as well, as they want to regulate every aspect of what we do. And so much of what they're doing in the way of regulation does far more harm than good. I can tell you as a physician that a lot of the medicines that are being pushed by the Federal Drug Administration or permitted by it are basically lethal drugs. They do far more harm than good. The risk-benefit ratio is all on the risk, and the benefit ratio is very little. And yet, of course, we're told, oh, we have to have governments. It's there to protect us. Well, certainly, Gail, what is the next step? What are you and the local people up there in the Klamath River Basin doing?
Well, certainly trying to get the word out, and so we appreciate shows like this and people like Kirk and who are helping us to get the word out. And I guess bottom line is taking a stand and telling people that this is not a figment of our imagination, that this is very real. That people who, just like you said, are trying to live their life in a simple fashion are not being permitted to do so. And people who are not, creating problems are being targeted. And, so we're pursuing, we're going forward, and we're gonna stand up to these kinds of things and certainly continue to advocate, for people to understand what's really happening. And, I think just not allowing them to move in on us, and because I want this land and this ranching operation to be there for my grandchildren. I mean, they're excited kids who want to work and live this life, and it's being just taken down one step at a time. It's hard to hang in there, though. There's a lot of people leaving agriculture, and I think that the bottom line is that this is an issue that everybody's going to have to look at, because it's costly to stay in agriculture. Certainly young people can hardly even move into agriculture unless they have a family connection or some kind of business connection. It's so costly to keep up with the regulations, the permitting. We've spent over $30,000 trying to keep up with the agreements to even clean out a creek and be able to move gravel and without being given permission until after 5 years of pursuing it. So there's just so many things that are hurting people, and it's going to come down to the everyday average American very, very soon. I think much sooner than people realize.
I'm sure that's absolutely true. Well, if you're out there listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 right here in the Central Coast of California. And, of course, the other thing we'd like to mention, I hope, Cindy Gail, if you try to get the people up there listening to our programs, because your plight, Agenda 21, is simply one part of a much larger agenda of transforming the world we live in. I mean, certainly America is changing. Our morals are changing. Certainly our finances are changing. The way people live, the way people look at the world, their relationship to one another is changing. Certainly we we find a problem with marriage. Half of our marriages are entering in divorce. That we have more people per capita in prison in America today than any other nation in the world. One in every 30 American adults is in prison, probation, or parole. This simply does not happen by accident. It happens by intent. One of every three young black men, 21 to 31, in America today is in prison, probation, or parole. We got a real problem. And, of course, this is what we try to explore and explain to our listeners. So if you can get people up there listening to RadioLiberty.com so they can begin to see the big picture. And I, as you know, I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we have the unique opportunity to reach people all across the world, and it's amazing. Certainly more and more people are learning, and of course they're telling others, and there is a growing awareness across America as to what this is really all about. Agenda 21 is a small part of this, but it is it affects you, and it affects the people up there in the Klamath Basin, and I'm so glad that Kirk is up there helping get the information out. Kirk, what is your impression? Certainly you're close to the people up there, and we know that you had a recent meeting up there. You had over 1,000 people come out, didn't you?
We did, and just as important, I mean, it was, I think, a turning point. People came together. We intentionally made this not just to be a meeting, but basically a bringing together of people. We had over 50 different groups throughout Northern California and the Bay Area and Oregon that came in support. When I asked the question, I think about a quarter to one-third of the audience came from outside of Siskiyou County. We had the sheriffs beginning to work together because of the videos that came out of that meeting. The sheriffs are getting calls from across the country, from other sheriffs, and from people across the country saying, you know, I've been afraid. You know, I know what you're talking about, and finally we're beginning to see some light. And so I believe that this is really the pivot point, and that there can be a huge revival here. And I think we have the circumstances to really push back on this one, and I'm certainly committed to doing everything I can do. I'm sitting here looking at a Wikipedia map of the United States, and when you start to assemble these stories, which I'm starting to do on the website, Defend Rural America, where you can hear these stories, you can see them, you can read the materials, but you start to look at this, and, you know, you have this dump of smelt that's wiped out one of the, if the United States is the breadbasket of the world, the San Joaquin Valley was the breadbasket of the United States. And you can look at an aerial view from space on Wikipedia, and you can see huge, big, brown, dead spots where all these, they turn off the water and the orchards have died. You have the situation of the owl up in the forest has wiped out the timber industry. You have the situation with the dams. They're going after, I'm now reading this next thing, one of the things they're going after is the Columbia River Basin. And for anybody who doesn't know the Columbia River Basin, that is mammoth. That covers Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. They're going after that. You know, we have a situation where they've now got some, quote, endangered species lizard they're talking about in Texas that's going after the oil and the natural gas production. You have a situation in northern Arizona where they found some other little problem. They're going to seal off the biggest, richest uranium deposits in the United States. You know, we have a situation in the Gulf of Mexico where we had oil released that, to me, was very suspicious. I mean, if you really begin to assemble the picture and get the big picture, hey, there is a big problem here, and it is happening, and it's happening by intent, and it's happening systematically.
I certainly agree with you, and it's a matter of being able to connect the dots. Well, Gail, certainly, as far as you and your family are concerned right now, of course, things are pretty quiet for you. Are they doing any more work there in the valley where you're living? Has anybody else heard from the government agents there who are there to help?
Not the NOAA people. We've been the only ranch that's been approached by them. However, there have been a couple of pickups with unmarked pickups, very suspicious with a number of people. And when those trucks have come in into the valley, we've had phone calls go around, and we actually contacted our neighbor who lives at the head of our diversion and said, please, please, please call us if anybody comes up that way. And he never saw them, but there was evidence that somebody had been up there. And when we tried to get information, we couldn't get any information on that. But, we're trying to be proactive. I'm on the web a lot now and trying to blog and trying to respond to people's blogs and trying to motivate people. I'm president of the Siskiyou County Cattlewomen, and the cattlewomen and cattlemen are certainly becoming more vocal. We've kind of avoided political issues up until about the last 5 or 8 years, but certainly we're getting much more politically active, and we have legislative phone trees, and call people to get on, various issues. So I've spoken to members of our group, and people are definitely becoming more and more aware.
And I think that's vitally important, because we have to have elected representatives who are willing to take a stand. Now, these other people really don't believe in our Constitution and our representative form of government. Oh, but, of course, one of the things we could do would be simply to eliminate the money that goes to the Department of Fish and Game, so they start laying these, of course, autocratic people off. And, of course, that's probably the one thing they fear, is they're going to lose their positions of power. Well, let's go to Helen, who's calling us from New York. Hi, Helen. Do you open up state New York?
Yes, I do. Well, yes, about half above Binghamton. I think you lived in New York once, didn't you?
No, I never have, but we do have a couple of stations
up
there.
You seem to know a lot about us. Yeah, I'm about the middle of the state.
Okay, well, you're by Attica, Utica, what?
Yeah, I'm below the Utica, very close, so about 50 miles.
All right, are you hearing us off the Attica station?
No, I'm hearing you off of Cherry Valley.
All right.
WJIV.
You're hearing us on what?
Off of WJIV in Cherry Valley.
All right, very good.
That's east of me towards Albany.
All right, you go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I just heard, I'm sure it was last week, on my Christian station, I listened to news there, and they were commenting on the fact that in Queensland, Australia, which is the largest, big territory in Australia, is now completely taken over like that lady's been talking about tonight.
They've taken away all the property rights there, my understanding.
All the property, the farmers can remain on their farm until they die.
Right.
They can't build, they cannot buy, they cannot sell. They cannot have as an inheritance any of the land.
Helen, it is so incredible, and I'm so glad that the information you're getting out. We've known about this for a long time, but it is part of this much larger agenda, and I'm so glad that they're getting it out on your Christian radio stations. At least many of them carry news you won't get elsewhere. And but they would love to do just exactly the same thing here. These people don't believe in private property. These people don't believe in freedom. They want control. They want to control everything.
Yeah,
anything
evidently.
Else you want to say, Helen?
Well, evidently they do. But did you know about this in Queensland?
Yes, I did. I certainly did. Did you know about this, Gail?
It's funny that you bring it up, because I was just hearing a report, not about that particularly, but that at the Cattlemen and Cattlewomen's Convention, they were saying that in 2007, Australia imported only 20% of their food, and within 3 years, by 2010, Australians were importing more than 50% of their food. Their food, the cost of food for the individual family had risen something like 800%, and the regulations, just exactly what you're saying, basically, the regulations were strangling producers in that country, the same thing is happening here. People are going to be forced to leave agriculture. And, in California, one out of every four jobs is directly related to agriculture, and another one out of every four jobs is indirectly. So more than 50% of the jobs in California are connected to agriculture. And what's happening is going to be felt right down to
the dinner table.
And well, but maybe that's what it'll take to get people's attention. Helda, thank you so very much for calling.
Well, Stan?
Yes.
Dr. Stan? I'm almost 81, and I'm just going to ask you a question. Where the hell am I supposed to go?
You're going to have to stay here.
I'm a farmer. We're tree farmers.
What?
My husband and I, we have a tree farm.
Well, basically, you've got to help us get the information out. We have the ear of people across America. We'll be telling you within a week of our new program what you can actually do. If we can awaken the American people, we could do it in a matter of a few months. But we need a concerted effort on the part of good people like you. Hang in there. Don't get discouraged. Remember, as we
I'm not discouraged. I just thought you might not have heard completely about Queensland. I don't know much more about it.
Well,
I'd
thank
like
you so
to
much for
more.
Calling. We've got to run because we got another caller.
Okay. Bye-bye,
Helen.
Thank you very much.
I'm always got a Gloria calling from Spokane. Hi, Gloria. Have a question or comment?
Yes, I was just going to make the recommendation that the lady you have on your program tonight, that she gets a hold of Helen Chenoweth Hage's book called Protecting or Securing Your Property, and it talks about securing your water rights, and it sounds like...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
You go right ahead there.
Well, it sounds like...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Because we've got well over 65 outlets every single week, and it's an expensive proposition. We've just picked up the Accent, I guess maybe about 2 months ago, network, and they've got three stations where they broadcast each station. Each of the stations broadcast is 4 hours a day, so that gives us 12 hours a day and we're actually reaching people by that means, a new station down in Phoenix, a network down in Southern California. It's all part and parcel of a plan. We have to get on as many stations as we can. And if you're in a position to help, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Now, how do we make any sense out of what's going on in the world today? Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or watch the DVD. You need to hear my talk on DVD on The Dark Secret, my talk on The Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabuses to go with that. If you want to understand what's going on, of course, over in the Near East, the Middle East today, as nation after nation after nation over there falls, and I'm talking about Libya, I'm talking about Tunisia, I'm talking about Egypt, I'm talking about Syria, I'm talking about Turkey, which has moved from being a secular state into the radical Islamic field, you need to read the book, The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game goes into who financed the Muslim Brotherhood, this movement that is taking over all of the Near East and Middle East in preparation for the coming war with the Christian world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a war between Christianity and America. And, of course, these Muslim nations joined together under a common banner and financed by your own government. We've done this right along the British and the Americans. The secret government has been financing the Muslim Brotherhood. Why? Because you can't have a war unless you've got an enemy. And, of course, if you really want to get the background of this, you need to read Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and he will tell you about the Second World War and how Great Britain and the United States helped to finance and build up Hitler's Germany. And then if you want to get into more detail, of course, you can get my DVD. It's called The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, my interview with Professor Sutton, who was actually with the Hoover Institute, only when he began to tell the truth. Why, of course, they fired him. You can't have anybody who tells the truth at any university because we cannot let the American people know the truth. You need to get, of course, the book, Best Enemy Money Could Buy by Professor Sutton. We have the interview with him, a DVD. We have the book. And then, of course, we have a book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, going into who it was who financed the Nazis. We have the book, America's Nazi Secret, written by John Loftus, who had a security clearance 3 levels above top secret. And Chris goes into the background of how the United States corporations built up the military power for Adolf Hitler. Not only before the Second World War, but during the war, 150 Americans directing those corporations during the war, building the weapons that used to kill our boys, an act of frank treason. And yet they were never tried, and most Americans never heard this story. The book, Trading with the Enemy, by Charles Higham, they're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. I have four interviews with John Loftus. It's a tape set called The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews, the books by John Loftus, The Secret War Against the Jews, Unholy Trinity, and, of course, America's Nazi Secret. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. Beside her and guide her. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, William Grigg. Hi, William. How are we doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well, and thank you once again for having me on your program. It's a real honor and a blessing.
Well, William, first of all, he was the editor of the New American Magazine, senior editor. He certainly has written extensively. Now, I think he's the managing editor or something or other of the Republic Magazine, and he certainly has his own blog. He's a prolific writer. He's one of the finest conservative columnists and writers we have, and it's always a pleasure to have him with us here at Radio Liberty on Friday evening. Now, what are we going to be talking about this week?
Dr. Stan, one of the reasons why I've been somewhat laggard in getting the newsletters finished is because of this antic parade and sudden accumulation of really important events. It's become really difficult to stay on top of what's happening in terms of trying to select the most important subjects, because there are so many things happening all at once, all of which are critical.
They're all most important. I know exactly how you feel. But basically, you know, we look at what's happening and we see the contracting of the Chinese economy. And they're having some real problems over there. Then we see what's happening in the Near East, the Middle East, the overthrow of the governments there. And then, of course, we here see the very real possibility that sooner or later there's going to be a conflict between Israel and the United States and Iran. And then, of course, we look here at home with the Occupy Wall Street situation. We look at our contracting economy. There are so many issues. I mean, basically, there's a growing sense of lawlessness here in America. People sort of honestly believe that this Occupy Wall Street movement is just a spontaneous movement, just came about out of no place, and suddenly there's a leaderless organization, a movement of people with very real grievances, and certainly it is made up of people with very real grievances, but it's not leaderless, it's carefully coordinated, not only here in the United States, but with similar movements all throughout the world. And if you believe that the Occupy movement is leaderless, I'd like to interest you in a submarine I have in my backyard, but go right ahead, buddy.
Lawlessness, of course, is the unifying thread of what we're talking about. People in positions of power and those who aspire to acquire it consider themselves to be completely emancipated from law. And we, of course, see many examples of that with respect to the increasing proliferation of private lawlessness, criminal behavior on the streets, but we have a concomitant rise in officially sanctioned lawlessness. One really good example, of course, would be recent revelations about the fact, this is something we discussed long ago, Dr. Stan, but this is something that's just now made it into, if you will, sort of the secular media, that the actual bailout was $7.7 trillion. You and I have been talking about the fact that it was going to be trillions of dollars by the time that we got some accounting of what happened after the October Revolution of 2008. And now we've seen that it is $7.7 trillion that they're willing to admit to, and we're probably going to see additional revelations of even greater sums. All of that's officially sanctioned counterfeiting and theft. All of it is the redistribution of value from what we have earned and saved into the hands of politically connected criminals on Wall Street, not the ones in the streets that are conducting acts of lawlessness that attract the attention of television cameras, but the things that are going on within the buildings and within the corridors of power that are every bit as destructive, and actually in terms of ultimate consequences, more destructive even than what we would see in the most chaotic examples of the Occupy Wall Street movement. But the crimson thread binding these events together is lawlessness.
Hold that thought. William, we go right ahead.
on another subject that is related to this discussion of institutional lawlessness, we have to talk about what the U.S. Senate just did in approving this absolutely hideous National Defense Authorization Act that includes the properly notorious Section 1031, which allows for the military arrest and indefinite detention under military jurisdiction of any individual who's designated a suspected terrorist or a terrorist enabler or a terrorist supporter or unprivileged, unlawful enemy combatant or some such verbiage would be used to describe their status. The point is that anybody on the face of the earth, because as Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, one of the most emphatic supporters of this measure, pointed out, this is to be a war of universal jurisdiction. What Mr. Graham pointed out, Senator Graham pointed out, is that the world is now the battlefield, including the homeland. So this would apply not merely to foreign nationals or to U.S. citizens who would be apprehended, perhaps, as combatants on behalf of some Islamic insurgency in Somalia or Yemen or elsewhere, but also people here in the United States who might be seen as, in some sense, in league with some group that the U.S. government doesn't like. Of course, Al-Qaeda is still the marquee enemy, in spite of the fact that every week we hear these triumphal announcements that the top-level or middle-echelon management of Al-Qaeda has been decimated, or we have them on their heels, they're on the run. Of course, this is a familiar Orwellian dynamic where our regime is at once boldly triumphant and yet constantly under siege. Somehow we're enjoying success upon success, but we're more imperiled than ever. You know, there's this really schizoid flavor to official propaganda. And, of course, with respect to this propaganda artifact called Al-Qaeda, we see that phenomenon constantly. This debate, such as it was, over this provision in the Defense Authorization Act was something that could have been extruded from the Ministry of Truth in Orwell's 1984 because it focused so heavily on this hate figure of Al-Qaeda, which really, as you and I pointed out, is at most a peripheral phenomenon. If not, if we understand and we are governed by the supposedly authoritative narrative of where Al-Qaeda came from and what it represents, it would be peripheral at very most in terms of the threat that would represent the United States. I'm convinced that it never really had any institutional existence, that it would have been a franchise or a brand name more than an actual organized cohesive movement, and that it was largely brought into existence by the CIA working with our good friends in the Pakistani intelligence service.
Hello, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is William Craig, and he's talking about the Defense Authorization Act, which, of course, it contained a portion there which gave the government the right to arrest a terrorist anywhere in this country or the country, even if they're American citizens, to hold them indefinitely without trial, without the right of habeas corpus, as long as the military wants to hold them. Now, this isn't total violation of our laws, but the excuse it's given is Al-Qaeda. We're defending ourselves against the terrorists. And of course, simply everything we hear about terrorism, it's Al-Qaeda. The only question is, are we really getting the truth? Now, we know we're fighting Al-Qaeda over there in Afghanistan. We have 90,000 troops, American troops, 46,000 NATO troops, 100,000 contractors, 300,000 Afghan troops that we're paying for, and the 50 members of Al-Qaeda. If you doubt that,
yeah,
go up on your internet and simply type in Leon Panetta. This is at your search engine, Leon Panetta, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, or General James Jones, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan. You'll find what I'm telling you, the truth. So we've got well over a half a million people there fighting the wicked people in Al-Qaeda who are plotting our demise. And then, of course, but the problem with this is that we're backing the people in Al-Qaeda as far as their effort to overthrow Mubarak, to overthrow the government of Tunisia, to overthrow the government of Libya, and all those countries are being turned over to the Muslim Brotherhood, which works in close concert with Al-Qaeda in a similar matter, why the United States government actively backed the Muslim radicals who were working with Al-Qaeda in Bosnia. The United States government actively backed the Muslim militants working with Al-Qaeda in Kosovo. So why is it all right, of course, to back the Al-Qaeda in Bosnia and Kosovo and in Tunisia and Libya and then Egypt and now in Syria and fight them in Afghanistan? It really doesn't make sense unless everything you're seeing today is political theater and you're not seeing reality at all. Go right ahead, William.
Well, obviously we're dealing with political theater and it doesn't have to make sense. It merely has to play upon some of the baser emotions of humanity and the mass in order to be effective. And you recited a very useful litany of contradictory policies with respect to Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda-flavored movements in much of the world. Of course, the most remarkable example of what's going on here is, as you pointed out, what happened in Libya, where you had an admittedly horrible dictator, Muammar Gaddafi, who was brought to power in 1969 with the help of British intelligence, and most likely the CIA. There's very good evidence that the same people they're trying to overthrow actually succeeded in overthrowing the government of Iran in 1953, did the same thing in Libya in 1969. And Muammar Gaddafi apparently was somebody who had slipped his tether and become a little bit of a free radical in that part of the world, which is one of the reasons why he was always at daggers drawn with Washington. He was brought loosely into the orbit of the Soviet Union, and really in terms of how that works out with respect to the politics of the international power elite, that's a good arrangement too. I mean, it's good to have antagonists of that sort as foils for various types of policies. But he was brought into the fold several years ago, about 2002, 2003, and as late as 2009, John McCain, who was the chief sponsor of this measure that was just passed in the Senate. That's an important point in this overarching narrative. John McCain, one of the chief sponsors of this measure that would permit the military to arrest anybody who's seen as a terrorist sympathizer, was in Libya in 2009 promoting Muammar Gaddafi, who, of course, for most of his public life, had been designated one of the terror chieftains of the known universe. I remember that, and I've recited this before, Talleyrand, that wily and viscous figure from the French Revolution, managed to survive every single change of regime and managed to change his loyalties and turn his coat with uncanny prescience whenever there was an upheaval. So the treason is a matter of dates. In other words, one day espousing a point of view could be considered to be just a very subtle patriotism. There's a change in management on the part of the government. The following day, that's treasonous. You know, one day you could be consigning your friends to the guillotine. The next day you're the one who's in the tumbril being taken to be shortened. Well, that's the sort of thing that happened with John McCain. Here he was in 2009 promoting Muammar Gaddafi. And then in 2011, Muammar Gaddafi was considered to be a bête noire of U.S. policy. The federal government, without any kind of legal authority or constitutional sanction, was conducting a war against Muammar Gaddafi. He had once again been designated a terrorist and enemy of humanity. But under the terms of the bill that Mr. McCain helped to ram through the Senate, Mr. McCain, Senator McCain, would be considered somebody liable to be taken into military custody and detained indefinitely because of his association with Muammar Gaddafi. The same thing could be said with respect, or should be said, with respect to this huge caucus of which John McCain is a part, Michelle Bachmann is a part, Joseph Lieberman is part of this movement, that promotes the so-called People's Mujahideen in Iran, the Mujahideen of Kok, M-E-K. These are people who belong to one of the most bizarre Marxist-Islamist cults that I've ever been made aware of. These people are so bizarre, they make the so-called Kosovo Liberation Army look almost normal and sedate. The Kosovo Liberation Army, way back in the mid-1990s, was being funded by the CIA, was also being funded by Osama bin Laden, which, of course, is six of one, half dozen of the other, given bin Laden existing connections with the CIA and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. But the Kosovo Liberation Army back in the 1990s was an offshoot of a movement that began in the 1940s that was organized by the Nazi SS, the so-called Skanderbeg Militia, And on one side, they were descended from the Skanderbeg militia. On the other side, they were descended from the Stalinist cadres of Enver Hoxha in Albania. And so naturally, they were seen as the best group to represent the supposed legitimate interests of the Kosovar Albanians when it came time to wage war in 1999 to tear away Kosovo from Serbia in that 78-day terror bombing conducted through NATO, once again with no congressional approval, no constitutional legitimacy, was done through NATO, which is an affiliate of the United Nations. So you fast forward to 2011, the so-called People's Mujahideen in Iran, which is literally run by a cult, a religious cult that uses the forms and symbology and language of Islam in order to promote a hardcore Marxist revolutionary message. Those are the folks who are working in Iran right now to carry out sabotage and assassination in order to soften up that target for the eventual and much anticipated and much delayed war, probably involving the United States and Israel and probably Great Britain and whoever else can be bought, bribed, or browbeaten or threatened into participating for the purpose of providing political cover. But there have been sabotage attacks and assassinations that have taken place in Iran for several years. This is escalating right now as sanctions are being imposed by London against Iran's central bank. It's one of the reasons why you have the storming of the embassy by the rent-a-mobs in Tehran. It's the same kind of thing that happened 22 years ago, quite frankly, when you had the mob storm the United States embassy. We haven't had an embassy in Iran for a number of years as a result of that. There's an interest section that is used to convey messages to the Iranian government. But this 1979 attack was in large measure inspired by several decades of U.S. meddling in that country, beginning with the overthrow of Mossadegh back in 1953. Well, what's happened in recent weeks is that because Great Britain has gotten involved in, as far as the Iranian perspective would be, would dictate, involved in this low-grade war of subversion and terrorism in that country, and then started to sanction the banking interests in Iran and thereby impose economic burdens on that country. That's one reason why you have the very easy appeal to outraged nationalism that helped to provoke that attack on the British embassy, which is part of tuning the atmosphere, I believe, in terms of ratcheting up hostility as a prelude to war. But you've also had explosions at many of the suspected nuclear facilities in Iran. There are, I think, 280 of them scattered across the country. There's not just the much-discussed facility at Bushehr. They're not merely the underground research facilities. There are 280 of them scattered across the country, and most of them, as far as I'm able to tell from reading literature put out by people who know more about the subject than I do, who are specialists in such matters, they're not nuclear weapons facilities, they're nuclear power plants. And these are things, actually, that were being promoted 25, 30 years ago, or longer, almost 40 years ago, by the Nixon and Ford administrations when they were actually transferring nuclear technology to the regime of Shah Reza Pahlavi. And at the time, the Shah was saying that he intended to develop a nuclear weapon, that he intended for Iran to become a nuclear power because it was in a neighborhood where you have nuclear powers such as Israel and India, and Pakistan, of course, became a nuclear power as well. Iran, of course, is not that far from Russia, which at the time was the Soviet Union, was very hostile toward Iran. So the Shah was talking about building not only a nuclear power generating facility, but also developing the capacity to weaponize nuclear materials and have his own atomic arsenal. This is something that the Ford administration was aware of and that Henry Kissinger had tacitly and apparently grudgingly approved. But this was, like I said, 40 years ago when there was actual evidence that Iran was interested in building a nuclear weapon. Right now the evidence is very ambiguous at best, and is considered to be a casus belli that Iran would be developing nuclear energy of any kind. It's pretty much the same type of government in terms of the way that it's administered domestically. It's more overtly, of course, fundamentalist in terms of the religious nature of things than it was under the Shah. But that's not to say that it's necessarily that much more oppressive. The Shah was a horrible ruler. I mean, he was friendly to Washington, but he was a horrible ruler nonetheless. But the point I'm making here is that you've got all these campaigns being waged within Iran that are obviously either the prelude to war or the overture to war, maybe even the first chorus, the opening bars of that symphony of destruction. And this is taking place with the help of this terrorist group called the MEK, which is listed as a terrorist group by the State Department.
But hold that thought, and ladies and gentlemen, the war is coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. William, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Executive power, and it would simply be the power to arrest anyone accused of being a terrorist, American citizen or not American citizen. And of course, if you read the wording on this thing, it's hard to figure out what it says.
Yeah.
They intentionally made it very obtuse, but people who interpreted this thing, who have a lot more legal experience than I have, basically says that it includes anyone, American citizen, who is suspected or might be a terrorist, and they can take them and put them in prison and hold them indefinitely without habeas corpus. President Obama is threatening to actually veto the legislation, which, I mean, I would be all in favor of it, but of course I'm not sure this is really going to happen. I mean, I do not trust President Obama. Remember, this is all political theater. The radical left that will certainly champion President Obama. What really bothers me is so many good conservatives voted for legislation that, for all intents and purposes, simply trashes the constitutional right of American citizens, because the terrorist is whoever the military or the president or the executive says is a terrorist. And you could be certainly accused by your next-door neighbor, and you could go off to prison and never be heard from again. And, of course, they've also talked now about legalizing torture. What sort of madness is going on today? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who are still sane, and most people think we're crazy. Go right ahead, William.
One of the things that I want to italicize here, Dr. Stan, about what you said concerning the nature of this bill is the fact that the language is written for the purpose of befuddling those of us who are not in government. It's written in deliberately ambiguous ways. There's a deliberate opacity. It's not supposed to be transparent. You know, transparency is necessary in order for people to understand the law. Clarity is what they're trying to avoid. They want us to be left in a state of perpetual insecurity as to whether we're actually violating the terms of the law. This is something I've talked about with respect to other aspects of what the Leviathan State is doing. A few years ago, I believe it was about 20 years ago, actually, if I'm not mistaken, it was the 1980s, the Justice Department, as that agency grandly styles itself, tried to tabulate the number of actual federal statutes there are and how many laws were encoded in those statutes. They lost count when they got to about 40,000 different statutes, criminal statutes. Now, there's only one federal crime defined in the Constitution, and it's specifically defined, of course, treason. And treason is making war against the United States, small u, capital S, the United States and Congress assembled was the formulation, by either materially aiding an enemy or adhering to an enemy in time of war. It was something that had to be confirmed by the testimony of two witnesses or by confession in open court. In other words, this isn't something that could be used as a lazy pejorative. You can call somebody a traitor because of his opinions, whatever the content of those opinions. This is somebody who had to take up arms against the people of the United States, consciously, deliberately making war against them. That's the specific definition. It's the only federal crime. Well, there are over 40,000 federal statutes, and quite frankly, in terms of the number of crimes listed in those statutes, the Justice Department, if you will, figuratively shrugged your shoulders and said, we can't tabulate them. We've lost track of how many there are. There are literally infinite things that can be accused, of which people can stand accused by way of crimes, because of the way the statutes are written. They're ambiguous. They're not susceptible to understanding by those of us who are trying to obey the law. Well, the same thing is true with respect to the definition of terrorism here and whether this applies to U.S. citizens as well as to foreign nationals. The best, and from my perspective, the definitive take on this will be offered by those who supported it. Once again, I invoke the language of Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, who, as far as I can tell, has taken leave of his senses. What he said in his floor speech supporting this bill was, and I quote, "The statement of authority to detain does apply to American citizens, and it designates the world as the battlefield, including the homeland." Once again, "The statement of authority to detain does apply to American citizens, and it designates the world as the battlefield, including the homeland." So as far as he's concerned, and he supported the darn thing, it applies to all of us. If we're designated as an enemy combatant or a belligerent, what he said is, you don't get a lawyer. Shut up, you don't get a lawyer, and we'll detain you for as long as we like and treat you as we see fit.
Well, I share your concern about this piece of legislation. Whatever you have, so it's 1,000 pages long, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody in Congress has the time to read 1,000 pages of legislation. I talked to him, Jack Abramson, recently. He'd actually been a lobbyist there, went to prison for being a lobbyist. But as he said, none of the congressmen read the legislation. There's no way they could understand the legislation we wrote. Go right ahead, William.
Not only do they not read the legislation, Dr. Stan, often the legislation isn't ready to be read. That was the case with respect to the Patriot Act. Now, I remember back in 1993 or 1994, I can't remember specifically whether it was 93 or 94, I think it was the former, there was a prologue to a treaty called the U.S. Biodiversity Treaty, the Global Convention on Biodiversity. The Senate nearly ratified the protocols in anticipation of writing the Biodiversity Treaty. This would have been a measure conceding pretty much every millimeter of territory of the United States to the jurisdiction of the United Nations. The Senate came within a whisper of approving that measure until, I believe, the Farm Bureau or some other agricultural group actually got a hold of the protocols, the operative protocols, and put pressure on the Senate and actually caused some trouble in terms of humiliating or embarrassing a few of these senators into refusing to vote for something that hadn't yet been written. The treaty had not yet been written. Well, fast forward 8 or 9 years, you have the spectacle of the Congress and the Senate in indecent haste voting for the Patriot Act before the legislation had been finalized. Not only did they not read the bill hadn't yet been written. And what's happened is that the Patriot Act, which is this monstrosity very few people have managed to plow through, has not only been, passed in 2001, it's been reified on a couple of occasions, it's been renewed, it's been expanded, and just recently in one of the Republican presidential debates, you had a very useful exchange between Representative Ron Paul, who is the only, well, one of perhaps two members of Congress who has any measurable respect for the Constitution, was trying to explain why the Patriot Act was an abomination from the perspective of the Founding Fathers. And you had Newt Gingrich, this unspeakable collectivist troll, talking about how the Patriot Act is necessary because there are people who are trying to kill us and we don't have time to deal with constitutional quiddities and preoccupations when we're dealing with an all-encompassing enemy that apparently is all-powerful and insuperably committed to destroy every single one of us. As far as Gingrich is concerned, it doesn't really matter what the threat is or the dimensions of the threat. The supposed fact that there is a threat out there means that the Constitution really is something utterly disposable. And that's, of course, the case now with this abhorrent Defense Authorization Act and this newly enacted measure that the Senate would use to give the military the permission to arrest and detain anybody, any of us, who are considered to be an enemy of the state.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, of course, is William Craig, and we've been talking about certainly what we've passed in the past, certainly the Patriot Act, and now more recently the Defense Authorization Act, that in the name of protecting us from the threat of terrorism, we must give up our freedom. In fact, it was one of the recent presidential debates when Ed Meese, who I know and who I really don't trust at all, Ed Meese got up and asked Congressman Paul, he said, you know, there have been 42 acts of terrorism here in America, and you know, these terrorists are working against us and want to kill us, and don't you think we need legislation to protect us from terrorism? And, you know, simply Congressman Paul gave a magnificent answer. He said, you know, there's 300 million Americans, 300 million Americans, and we're going to give up our freedom because there have been 42 suspected acts of terrorism. Certainly I'm against terrorism, but certainly we've seen terrorism. He talked about, of course, Timothy McVeigh and how he was arrested and executed, and that's how you deal with terrorists, but you don't take away the freedom from 300 million Americans because of 42 acts of terrorism. Now, I would have pointed out that almost every one of those acts was actually involved an agent provocateur. In many instances, the people were paid, or suddenly their efforts to engage in acts of terrorism were actually financed and subsidized, and in many instances actually suggested and promoted by these paid provocateurs who received a tremendous amount of compensation for betraying their friends. But there are some susceptible people out there who, under proper circumstances, when encouraged by government agents, will agree to carry out acts of terrorism. There's no question. But if there's only been 42 acts of terrorism, or at least threats of terrorism in this country, are we going to take the rights of 300 million people? The question was asked by Ed Meese to embarrass, certainly, Congressman Paul. He did a magnificent job of answering that. I would have answered it differently and probably lost half the audience who really believe there's a terrorist threat. He actually, of course, went right back to the Constitution and pointed out that you'd never give up your freedom in the name of security, and those who give up their freedom in the name of security will lose both freedom and security. But certainly go right ahead, William.
One of the things I'd like to point out about that debate is the fact that this took place in Washington. took place within the gates of Mordor, and the people who were congregated in the audience were drawn from the Babbitt Warrens of the think tank communities. You're dealing with literally an audience full of policy wonks, warmongers, and think tank chairmoisters who really don't have anything to do but devise these recondite rationales for perpetual war and indefinite garrison state restrictions of our freedom here in the United States. So when Ed Meese got up and asked that question of Ron Paul, what he was doing, in the style, quite frankly, of somebody who was addressing the defendant in a Soviet show trial, you're talking about that kind of an atmosphere, as if he stood up in the meeting of the Presidium or the Politburo or the Grand Soviet and accused somebody of being a deviationist. It's that type of an atmosphere we're talking about in Washington right now. I want to take just a minute and talk a little bit about Ed Meese, because you point out, you know, we don't particularly trust him. I've mentioned this before. It bears repeating. Back in 1987, the DEA, which is an agency I don't particularly respect, it's the little sibling of the CIA, was put together by the CIA back in 1969 or 1970, essentially to be like the equivalent of the Washington Generals, which is the team that travels the country with the Harlem Globetrotters, and it goes out on the basketball court every night for the purpose of being beaten. That's pretty much the role of the DEA here with respect to the war on drugs, which is run on the other side by the CIA. They got to pick their own opposition, so they created the DEA. But there's a very idealistic man by the name of Michael Levine who became a DEA undercover agent. He was the most decorated and successful DEA undercover agent for a couple of reasons, the first of which was that he was profoundly motivated. He had a younger brother who died from a heroin addiction, so he absolutely hated drug addiction. The second thing was that he was insanely brave. The third is that he was physically very intimidating. The fourth is that he could pass for just about any ethnicity. He's from New York. With a name like Levine, you can imagine that he's Jewish by way of his ancestry and his upbringing, but he could pass for Italian or Mexican or Puerto Rican or a number of other ethnicities. He was involved in an operation called Operation Trifecta, the purpose of which was to infiltrate the Mexican drug cartels, then in their sort of their embryonic form, and lure them to the United States, specifically to Las Vegas, the leadership of these cartels, lure them to Las Vegas, where they would be arrested and put on trial for the purpose of breaking the back of the drug smuggling network. And he was motivated as well by the horrible torture murder of Kiki Camarena in 1984 in Mexico City. He was the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration undercover operative who was found, and his cover was blown, and he was tortured to death. It was a pretty horrible thing. I remember our ambassador to Mexico City back in 1984 giving a very impassioned speech condemning what had happened to Camarena. But this was within a couple of years of this happening. So they had everything in place, and they'd found out that people who were running the drug cartels, of course, were highly placed members of the Mexican government, including the, if I'm not mistaken, the equivalent of the Secretary of the Army and a couple of people who were very high-ranking generals in the Mexican military and people of similar stature within the civilian government. Just before they were going to close the trap had been baited and the prey was going to be lured north of the border, the DEA official who was supervising this operation got a phone call from Washington. The phone call was from the office of Ed Meese, and he was told that they were going to shut the operation down. And the reason why this was done was because the people that they were going to be arresting, if they had lured them into American territory as they planned, were the same people with whom the Reagan administration and then, of course, the Bush administration would be negotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement, at least the Mexican portion of that tripartite agreement. The other party, of course, was Canada. And so when it came down to cases, when you're talking about what is now called narco-terrorism, way back in 1988, Ed Meese, who yields to nobody in his zeal to be enforcing morality through the coercive enterprise of the state, and, of course, somebody who is an adamantine loyalist when it comes to the war on drugs, the war on terror, the war on fill in the blank, he took a dive. He was willing to put the kibosh on an operation that would have led to one of these high-profile headline-generating triumphs in the war on drugs. The difference is that this actually would have exposed some of the really big players, the high-echelon political players in this international crime cartel. So this guy has got no moral right to be lecturing anybody, least of all Ron Paul, on the subject of international crime and terrorism and related subjects, because his hands are certainly unclean. But this is the sort of thing that happens time and again, where you have the government creating the poison and the antidote in the same laboratory. I mentioned in a previous segment the fact that Washington is promoting this bizarre, bloody-handed terrorist group, the People's Mujahideen, as they call themselves, in Iran, and the fact that you have people in Congress on both sides of the aisle promoting this terrorist group, which is still listed as a terrorist group right now. If you or I, Dr. Stan, were to do anything of that sort, if you or I were to be raising money or to be agitating for the People's Mujahideen or a similar group to be delisted by the State Department, we would be found guilty under the provisions of existing statutes and existing executive and Justice Department guidelines of providing material support for terrorism, and we would find ourselves liable to federal prosecution. Under this new provision, assuming, of course, that this is enacted by the House and signed into law by President Obama, under this new provision, we could be arrested by the military and thrown into a military brig here in the United States or in Gitmo or in Bagram, Afghanistan, or conceivably any of the archipelago of black sites that are still maintained by the CIA in countries around the world and retained in custody indefinitely, because this measure would essentially destroy what little remains of the habeas corpus guarantee. Now, as I pointed out earlier, Mr. Obama has threatened to veto this measure. Actually, the threat is a little ambiguous, and his role in helping to shepherd this through Congress is duplicitous, because there were a couple of proposed amendments, one of them proposed by Rand Paul, that's Ron Paul's son, who's the junior senator from Kentucky, that would have removed the offending language from this military appropriations measure. There was a much more ambiguous one promoted by Dianne Feinstein of California. The purpose of the Feinstein Amendment, I'm pretty sure, was just to confuse people by giving them some kind of eyewash, anodyne language that appeared to be nullifying the worst elements of the bill, but in substance would do very little, if anything. But those measures are voted down by the Senate because, in large measure, of the intervention of the Obama White House. Mr. Obama and his associates actually called the Senate leadership, the Democratic leadership of the Senate, Harry Reid et al., and told them that they wanted those amendments to be killed. So while they're threatening to veto the bill, they're also killing amendments that would supposedly address civil liberties concerns, which means that the issue is not civil liberties for the Obama White House. That shouldn't surprise us. He believes that the president has plenary authority to order the indefinite detention, the arrest and indefinite detention of anybody who's designated to be a belligerent or a terrorist sympathizer, or somebody who's materially supporting terrorism, et cetera.
Because, you know, I always wonder if President Obama has anything to do with these things. His
chief of staff
is the person, of course, who's really in charge of this. The chief of staff is a man named William Daley, comes from J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, which, of course, is one of the stalwarts, one of the backstays of this entire, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness movement. It's really a satanic organization working behind the scenes, and of course, of all the people that the president could have gotten to replace Rahm Emanuel when he left the position of chief of staff of the White House to become the mayor of Chicago, was William Daley.
Yeah.
William Daley, who just happens to be the son of Mayor Daley, one of the most corrupt politicians that Chicago has ever seen. William Daley, who went from there, a corrupt politician, to becoming an executive, a high-ranking executive, with J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Why would somebody with a criminal background be going to work for J.P. Morgan Chase? I think the answer should be pretty self-evident. It's
sure.
Part of this whole criminal enterprise that runs our government today. But go right ahead.
Well, what people need to understand is that small-time criminals rob banks. Big-time criminals use banks to rob people. And if I could play a riff on one of the old punchlines used by the Russian comedian Yakov Smirnov back in the late Gorbachev era when he came here, when it was still the Soviet Union, he used to have a series of one-liners that were based on the contrast between the United States and the Soviet Union. He said, here in the United States, you can always find a party. In Soviet Russia, party finds you. Well, in Soviet America, the banks rob you. That's how things work. And so when you're talking about the fact that Mr. Obama's handlers are people who are intimately connected to the banking, the big banking, I mean, the pedigreed criminal oligarchies that have run the banking system, that, of course, puts in context what we're talking about here, which is this consolidation of power on behalf of this self-replicating power elite, Brotherhood of Darkness, to use your expression, power elite, to use the C. Wright Mills expression, the establishment or the ruling elite. The point is that, as you say, Dr. Stan, Mr. Obama is a tool of these same people, just as have been his predecessors, as far back into memory as we would care to trace it, at least back to the Wilson administration, if not earlier.
Right, you're absolutely right. Before we go on, since I do not, I'm afraid I will forget to, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your webpage, how they can certainly find out, read the articles that you've written, and how they can find your PayPal button, because, of course, William really is very dependent upon help and support from people in our audience and across America to maintain his position. He does have at least something working with Republic Magazine. I do hope that's going to work out, but I'm sure he could use your help for the time being, especially when he has some 6 children and Christmas is coming. William, why don't you get your information out, how people could get your material and get in touch with you if they so feel fit.
Well, Dr. Stan, I do appreciate that, and I am continually amazed at your thoughtfulness and the thoughtfulness and generosity of so many people in your audience, and I'm very grateful for that. My chief outlet is still my blog, Pro Libertate, which is found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time, one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. If people would go to Google or some other search engine and simply type in my name, William Grigg, and then Pro Libertate, P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E. My blog should be the first return. Then again, if you just type in William Grigg, it's likely that my blog will be the first return. The Republic Magazine website is republicmagazine.com. And as a matter of fact, if you go to the Republic Magazine website right now, you take a look below the video section, the way that it's laid out, there's a video section right in the middle of the page when you go to republicmagazine.com. The top of the page, there's a number of covers from recent issues of the magazine, including the coming Greater Depression, which came out a couple of months ago. Then there's a segment dealing with the videos. Below that, there are a number of current news stories. The first one, the lead story, is entitled Heads Up, Preppers, Gun Owners, and Extremists, in shock quotes, is Military Detention in Your Future. And that gives you a rundown, it gives the reader a rundown on the recently enacted by the Senate National Defense, the National Defense Appropriations Act, which contains this provision on military detention of people who are suspected of being terrorist sympathizers or supporters or people who are otherwise considered enemies of the state. As well as several other headlines of recent stories, don't help the police put you in jail, get ready for economic martial law, and there's a profile of Newt Gingrich. So go to Republic Magazine's website and take a look at those articles as well. My chief outlet is still Pro Libertate, and as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, at the bottom of every essay, there is a PayPal button that people can use if they have access to PayPal, if they have the means to contribute and have an interest in doing so. I'd be very grateful for the help, as you pointed out. Times are pretty rough, and my circumstances are certainly straightened, and I would be very humbly grateful for any help that we can receive. That would be a great blessing to me and my family.
Well, I think that William has done a tremendous job. We certainly appreciate what he does. He helps us here at Radio Liberty, or writes our regular monthly newsletter, and hopefully we're going to be getting one of these days. But I know how busy it is. There's so much with it. When you have a large family and when you're trying to do so many things, I'm amazed at all the things he does. And of course, he's always been very, very willing to come here every Friday evening and certainly help me as to round out the week. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you are living in some of the most exciting, frightening, dangerous times of your life. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, as always, I am grateful for this opportunity, and I really...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dried Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is December 2nd, 2011, Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be talking to you about the news that really is the news, not the news that they want you to think is the news. And if you're watching television now, well, Newt Gingrich is a shoe-in for the presidency, and it'll probably be Donald Trump. Well, that's if you listen to television right now. Boy, Fox News is really promoting this. And
churches,
Herman Cain is saying,
lots of resources
I didn't
on
have
the web,
sex with that woman for 13 years.
And if you're looking for fellowship with other Christians,
it's really getting interesting.
Tons of sites,
I do feel for him.
Things.
Because if this man's really honest,
careful,
telling the truth that he didn't have anything to do
but
with
don't be afraid to
sexual
network
relationships,
with other Christians, even
I feel
if
sorry
it's
for him. Anyway, welcome to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us today.
Page,
Josh is in the studio with me.
Good morning.
That's one of your seconds.
The best Messiah
congregation that you get.
Much
appreciated.
In years.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a strange world out there.
Now, right here
they
on
appear
this
to
network,
have voted on the let's make everybody an enemy except for the elite bill.
I said some things
and let's detain
so
them as long as we
couldn't
want
possibly
to
happen,
and torture them as long as we choose to. I mean, what kind of a person would vote for those bills in the first place?
Well, you have a list of them.
I do. Yeah, I do. I have a list of them. And a couple of them are from Missouri. Thank you very much for setting us up for imprisonment here in the state of Missouri. I mean, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of it.
It's criminal.
It is. It absolutely is. There's no way that you can... I mean, I would love to see these people dancing, trying to tell you why they felt there was a need to vote for this bill.
It's to fight terrorism, you know. Terrorists hate freedom.
Yeah, yeah. As long as we got to fight them over here.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's a terrorist now.
We fought them all over there, so now we need to fight them here. Something like that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Well, we're going to talk about the news today that we believe that is really the news. In the second hour, we're going to have an inspiring program. Daniel Fazina will be joining us. He wrote a book called Divine Intervention. It's all different kinds of stories where it appeared it had to be God intervening in the situation because it was so bad, so dark, so without hope that divine intervention was the answer. And I loved reading these stories last night. In fact, I told Josh when he came in the studio, these would be some great bedtime stories for children to give them some hope and understanding that things can never be too dark. Unless your senator votes for it. No. Anyway, Newt Gingrich has announced he is going to be the nominee.